MAGA spokesperson apparently is also connected to this. But the big thing that came out of it this week is a court found against these conspiracy theorists, and they'll have to pay about $15,000 in fines for just frankly making it up.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. But I think we're starting to slowly see the consequence of some of these just outrageous claims. Okay. You know what I mean? It reminds me of that guy on Twitter, the British news commentator who keeps saying that all of these Olympians are men when they're actually women,
yeah,
and is constantly being sued. Actually, I think he was sued by drag queens.
Okay.
He lost once and he's being sued again by Nikki Doll out of France. But there seems to be slowly a trickle of consequences for just making things up.
Yeah, well, it's also, it is so easy to hedge your bets when you're in journalism. You don't say this person is definitely a man. You say it seems they are one. You can't get, that's not libel. You don't get sued for that. You say, in my opinion, I believe they might be. You know, that's not libel, that's just opinion. And you can have a garbage opinion. Garbage opinions are not against the law. But statements of facts, especially when you have the journalism title slapped against your name, can be libel. So it's just, if anything else, it's just sloppy.
Yeah.
Not to give the guy tips and tricks, but I mean,
yeah, to try not to claim that, you know, leading politicians' spouses are secretly their siblings just in order to be close to the positions of power. I mean, it's laughable.
I mean, if you're going to do a conspiracy, an elaborate conspiracy, wouldn't you want the end goal to be for you to be in the position of power and not just be married to someone in the position of power?
I don't know.
That just feels like a lazy conspiracy.
Well, according to these guys, behind every man in power, there is a man pretending to be his brother's wife's sister's trans person masquerading. So, yeah, clearly, it's ridiculous. It truly is ridiculous, and it seems like some of these roosters are coming home, these chickens are coming home to roost. Sticking to Europe for a hot second, Malta. Law came into effect in Malta, the little island nation, that is now allowing non-binary individuals to indicate non-binary on their passports. I believe that is already the case in Canada. You can put X in your passport. I think you can also do it in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just following the trend. I think Germany, France, and Britain all allow it as well, from what I can recall. But yeah, pretty exciting news out of Malta that they are also heading in this direction. We keep an eye on news all over the world to see what's happening here, there, and everywhere. There was a study out of Australia. Now, we talked about the CAS review.
Yes.
Now, for our listeners, what was the CAS review?
It was basically a longitudinal review of the literature and various studies on the trans healthcare system in the UK, especially but not exclusively the Tavistock Clinic, as well as a literature review. And it came under, it's so weird because it came under a lot of fire, but it was, if you read the details, a lot of the complaints about it aren't even things that she said. And then other things, people saying like, aha, it proves this. And then she didn't say that either. So it was, I don't know, it was a very misreported thing. But yeah, fundamentally, it was a review of the trans healthcare system in the UK.
Yeah. So what is the medical evidence saying about different types of medical care for trans folks? Puberty blockers, transitional surgeries, what ages, etc., etc., impacts, so on and so forth. The CAS review in the UK famously came out as very cautious against the use of puberty blockers and transitioning for youth in particular.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, the Canadian Association of Pediatricians and a bunch of other medical associations mm-hmm. that relate to this believe that the care available in Canada is consistent with the evidence that they have.
Okay.
That's their position on it. And there is a new study. The government of New South Wales commissioned the Sachs Foundation SAX Foundation.
Like saxophone.
Like saxophone. To look at, again, the use of puberty blockers. They looked at, I think it was 89 different research studies and found, broadly speaking, that puberty blockers are generally safe, effective, and reversible. Now, what we've really seen coming out of this is that in the States, some people do studies and they find, oh no, maybe not. In the UK, they landed on one side of it. In Australia, they've landed on the other. Same with Canada.
Yeah.
I think all we can really do is trust that our doctors are consistently monitoring the latest research and then adjusting their decisions based on where that research lands.
Well, like, you know,
there's medical practices that were in place in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s that are have long since been stopped. And likewise, you know, so we'll see what we'll see what happens.
That's one of the questions. It's not the concept of puberty blockers that was being questioned. It was there are multiple medical treatments that are being used that fall under the heading of puberty blockers. There's more than one drug that's being used. And it's not just the very concept of does blocking puberty work, but it's also do these drugs behave as described, and do they have the side effects as described, and do they have the long-term benefits as described individually? Because you can say, and this is one of the things that came out of, I believe it was California, they were looking at all the different drugs and they were like, one of them doesn't do what we thought it did. So it's not a matter of being against puberty blockers. It's just this drug doesn't behave as well as we thought it did, or it's too effective, or it has bad side effects. I mean, the best example or analog I can think of is in the late 90s, one of the earliest treatments for HIV was AZT, or AZT if you want to be Canadian about it. But AZT is the accepted pronunciation. AZT was basically just a poison bomb that made your body inhospitable
to anything.
To anything. It was poison. It was not great. Nobody thought twice about questioning the fact that AZT was bad, but there was this thread in the community where some people were worrying that critiquing AZT for being such a harsh medication also meant nobody should be getting HIV treatment.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the claim. The claim was we can do better. Is this drug the most effective thing we can get, or can we do better? And we have done better a million times over.
We've done significantly better.
I think a lot of people need to calm down about some of these studies questioning the use of puberty blockers. A lot of them are basically just trying to find what is the safest way to do this with the fewest side effects and the most intended effects. And can we track it? There are very few silver bullets in the world. There are very few medications that only fix the problem with zero side effects. Can we manage the side effects? Are they manageable? What do we do about them? Can you counteract the side effects with another drug? There are some drugs with horrible side effects, and then you just take Gravol, and now you're fine. So, I mean, a lot of these studies are really just trying to isolate that. They're not trying to say, should we ablate all trans health medicine from the system and then no more trans people? Because I've seen people accusing some of these studies of that. That is not what they're trying to do. They're just trying to say, like, you know, we don't crack open ribs anymore to do a heart bypass. Now we do a little thread that goes in the armpit that doesn't even leave a scar. Like, can we do the equivalent for trans health?
I do want to pick up on a thread that you laid down around HIV. Just because there was a Gilead, the big medical research firm, just announced they've ended their phase 3 trial early.
Okay.
Because it's so good.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's so efficient. So Gilead has a... they're looking at lenacapavir. Lenacapavir? I don't know. It's a drug name. No one can ever say these names effectively. But apparently...
They came on the commercials, but I think they practiced 20 times
before. They're twice-yearly injectable medication. So twice a year, stabbing a leg with a needle.
Yep.
Is 96%... reduces HIV by 96% compared to Truvada.
Oh.
They're like, yeah, it's unbelievably effective. So, I mean, that's a great point in medical trial. Anyone with HIV at this point could get twice a year stab in the leg and really look at reducing the rates of HIV infection. All right, we are going to jump to our next track of the day, and that one will be High Trust, High Stakes by Ryker, and following that, Silver Lady by Julia Dales. We'll be back just after this.
You've been hurt before, feelings of treading water is what it is, now built it up like stone and mortar. All the things we're told, we peel it like an onion, is what it is, now stay afloat, carved a diamond. High trust, high stakes, ride or die, emulate, I fly your way. Ooh, you fly my way, ride or die every day, high trust, high stakes. Searching to find a meaning, filling it up with feeling. Oh, cycle never starts, spiraling like a lily, the light in the dark infinity. Fly my way, ride or die, every day, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And the Paralympics have now come to a close. And Outsports has done great coverage of it, including looking at Team LGBT. Mm-hmm. They are, if all of the different countries' gay people were one team, how well would they do? They got 28 medals. They would be tied for 17th place.
Okay.
If it was a country. 28 medals for the gays.
And that's
not
out.
Bad.
That's the out gays.
That's the out gays. Yeah. Now, it's worth noting, there were 44 out LGBTQ athletes at the Paralympics this year, up from, I think it was like 30-something, 36 in Tokyo and 12 in Rio in 2016. So a huge leap in terms of out athletes. I also want to name check specifically Katie O'Brien in the paracycling, who won a bronze. So congratulations, Katie O'Brien. Also Tara Lanes, the wheelchair basketball, and Cindy Olay at wheelchair basketball. Also both out Canadians that competed in the Paralympics this past couple of weeks. But yeah, we talked about the Olympics and the great showing of LGBT folks there. But yeah, the big one out is, sorry, the big element that Outsport has sort of zeroed in on is the number of out men specifically. So gay and bisexual men. Apparently, there's not really much of a track record of that at all.
Yeah, not really.
Now, it is worth noting that Matheus Assis of Brazil in powerlifting, Mar Gunnarsson of Iceland in para swimming, Louis Lawler of Britain in para swimming, Dimitri Pavard in France para track and field, Kevin Van Ham of Belgium in para equestrian, and Ben Weeks, Australia, in the wheelchair tennis. You may have also noticed the news coverage with Dimitri Pavard coming out publicly during the Olympics. So yeah, it was overall very busy team. We had lots of sides of the court kisses between same-sex couples. It was adorable. I don't know. Hopefully, these medal-winning Paralympians will inspire queer folks who have, you know, various disabilities, that the Paralympics is a space where they can compete and win, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity.
Or their abilities.
Well, I mean, they'd have to be the best to win.
Yes.
Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I was referring. If you look at, actually, there was a. Oh man, this is unfortunately this is going to have to fall under, you know, source: just trust me, bro. But there was an economist years ago out of the U.S. who looked at outcomes of different demographic features on a person in the course of their life. Basically, what they were trying to do is quantify the concept of privilege. You know, you do pair matching. So you look at, you don't just look like at all whites and all African Americans. You look at like white college students in med school and African American college students in med school, and then look at what happens to the rest of their life. And just basic measurements like, is your life definitely better than your parents? How many goals in your life can you achieve? And it doesn't have to be big ones. It could just be like buy a car, buy a house, that kind of thing. And what he actually found was that the group that consistently did the worst was people with disabilities. More so than any other demographic factor, more than race, more than gender, more than sexual identity, more than anything else. And then he actually even subdivided it. So like sensory disability versus mobility disability versus a cognitive disability and all that kind of breakdown. And so anytime I hear something about programs benefiting people with disabilities, because it can really hold you back in life, even something as simple as like, yeah, you can have a pretty good life as a deaf person, but depending on where you are, you can't drive. if you can't drive, that means there's only certain places you can live because mm-hmm. there's no access. Now you're restricted to that. Now you're restricted to the rents in those areas. Now you're restricted. Like, it goes down the line. So, you know, when you're overlapping LGBT issues with disability issues, now you're looking at people who might have real bad access to things. And having enough access to, for example, a gym where you can do wheelchair
basketball. The appropriate training facilities.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, there is a lot of pride that goes into supporting people who can overcome all these hurdles and get to the point where they can actually access these things and do well and then perform the best in the world. Like, there are so many hurdles that they're getting past to get there.
Exactly. Well, I hope that any young Canadians listening who are inspired by the Paralympics mm-hmm. to get involved and be active and do more hears that queer folks are winning gold. You mm-hmm. know, queer folks are bringing home medals for Canada at the Paralympics. Many, many queer folks won medals at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So all in all, great showing. Now, I did want to mention, we don't talk too often about pop culture. Well, actually we do, but we don't dive into pop culture stories too often.
Usually we just make fun of JoJo Siwa and then talk about something serious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's quite easy to do. Yeah. But the one thing I wanted to note is the Emmys have had a bit of a run for the last 8 years. RuPaul, of RuPaul's Drag Race, has won the Outstanding Host for a reality competition program for about 8 years. Clockwork. Okay. Every single time. I mean, what I mean, 2024, so 2016 was the last time somebody else won the award. Anyway, openly gay Alan Cumming has won the Outstanding Host Award, cinching it from RuPaul of RuPaul's Drag Race for his hosting of The Traitors, the US version of the series. So, yeah, just thought, in terms of the world of gay, some people like to know that these things happen. You, evidenced by your face. Our listeners can't see your face, but evidenced by your face, you are not one of the people who are overly bothered.
Yeah, no, not really. Unscripted television, broadly speaking, is not for me. There have been a few exceptions in the past, but broadly speaking, yeah, I'm not really interested in that.
Exactly. All right, well, we have run out of time in this week's show. We are looking at bringing in some more guests for the coming weeks, and diving into some of the other topics. But until then, we'll be playing out with Zochi's Heartbreaker. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
So, and your sister Communication is everywhere. But what is it? Communication is how you share your thoughts, your opinions, your culture, from what you see on TV to what you post online. But what about the people who are not being seen or heard? AMI is a media company that strives to be a voice for Canadians with disabilities, whether it's through positive portrayal, reflection, and accessible media. AMI believes everyone should be included, and that includes you. AMI is inclusion. Experience AMI at amiplus.ca.
You're still listening to CJSR